I'm Marilyn Smith. This is All Sides Weekend. We're talking about food and restaurants. And of course, it's fall harvest time here in Central Ohio. The effect of all that hot, dry summer weather on this year's crop has been well documented, well noted. But are we going to see increased food prices passed on to patrons or perhaps restaurants absorbing it? Talking about food, restaurants, and issues affecting both, WOSU restaurant reviewers Rich Terapak and his son Rich, along with Marian Bowers Abbott of the other paper. And I'm delighted to see you all again.
It's good to be
Unfortunately,
here.
Unfortunately, it's radio, so no one else can see you all. What are you seeing any kind of pop in prices in area restaurants after corn crop, for example, was decimated?
Do you know, the last couple of places that I went to have actually been very affordable. I went to the Tandoori Grill after our last meeting, and I thought that was outstanding, and the value was terrific.
And
you
where
could
is
score
it?
Lunch. It's on Bethel at Olentangy, and it's Indian food. I mean, it's certainly not Ohio food, but a lot of the entrees were $10 and $12, which is what I remember entrees being for the last 15 years, you know, in Indian and Chinese restaurants. So I haven't in my adventures, I haven't seen any crazy prices.
I don't think I've seen any jump. I was thinking the other day, trying some of the new spots, that even some of the places that are supposed to be, fairly mid-range, it's tough to get lunch for less than $10 to $12.
Yeah, that you just kind of expect a $10 burger and stuff.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of a jump. I got some good corn the other day. I was out at Lind Fruit Farm picking apples with my wife and daughter and mother-in-law, and we went in to the barn where they have all the other veg, and they had some really great corn out there. You don't see it in the grocery store. Most of the grocery stuff is not looking great, but haven't seen a huge uptick in prices. I think a lot of that you'll see next year, especially
6 months out.
In the meats where
pork,
for instance. You've heard a lot about bacon over the last couple weeks. They had to send a lot of their herd to slaughter early because they couldn't feed them this year because of the corn shortage. So right now, there's actually a bit of a surplus in the grocery stores as far as those products go, and you'll probably see the prices start to tick up next year.
I agree.
292-8513, we're talking about food and restaurants here in Columbus. You've been to, actually haven't been to, you wrote to me in an email that you're somewhat crowd phobic, and so you didn't go to
Everyone knows I'm crowd phobic. Like, I am not a Saturday night at 8 p.m. let's go out and eat kind of girl, because that just I don't think it guarantees the best experience. Not that I want a guarantee of the best experience, but I find it so hectic in restaurants, and at the time that earlier is better, or Tuesday is even like the best day of the week of all. So places like the Grass Skirt, which I'm very excited to see is open, it'll be a while before I go.
Well, we also would like to give them a chance to get the kinks
work out the kinks, exactly. Yeah. We always try to review a place within the first two months that it's been open, just because you know how difficult it is just getting your patterns established and quality, in check.
And that's on North Grant downtown. But they did send you, Miriam, a copy of the menu.
Of the menu, right.
Which is limited
It's limited right now, although I think last night it expanded, because I saw a lot of pictures from them saying, here's some new stuff. So the first menu had kind of munchies. So little, I want to say spam sliders maybe.
Yeah,
And edamame, which it'd be hard to write a review about edamame.
But the soybean crop wasn't good this year. It might be small beans.
I guess I could do that. But last night I saw there was something that looked like spam sushi. And I know there is a fancy word for that. Do you guys know? Because you were telling me last time that spam is totally normal at tiki places. I know I'm going to be eating spam when I get there.
It's big in Hawaii.
It's big in Hawaii. So in Polynesian culture, it's big. I've never heard of spam sushi.
It had a little slice of spam.
Like
it looked like
style?
It was sitting on rice. I really think that's what it was.
What is spam?
It's highly a ham processed.
Processed ham product.
I'll probably have a report next time I see you.
Well, I think that's great that they are doing, if they are trying out different items, I think that's a really good idea in the first couple months, rather than just, kind of sticking to, something they made up in a concept room, see what's popular, see what works. And then, as the place evolves, they can, establish what should be on the menu full time.
Did you see anything from the old Kahiki days? Like, one of the appetizers was kapopo.
I did not. I think if I had seen that on the menu, that would stick in my memory forever. I did not see that.
Okay.
Sorry, Marilyn. Well, it helps to, when you're purchasing food locally, it's ever changing in a sense too. So having an evolving menu is probably a pretty good idea. 2928513 and Jerry is joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Smith and guests. I'd like to recommend for fish and chips the pub at Polaris, and for the best Italian sub, India Oak Grill off Indianola on Oakland Park. Any of you been there, either one of those places?
I haven't. My favorite Italian sub is at Vincenzo's at 161 in Sawmill.
I know where that is. Yeah,
haven't been there. I have to scout it out. We get up to Oakland Nursery all the time. That'd be an opportunity to find.
You said India Oak. It's called.
It's called the India Oak because it's on Oakland Park, just off Indianola.
Gotcha.
And, it's behind
you. I have heard of it before.
And how about the pub? Have any of you been there?
Have not tried that yet. Is that on Polaris Parkway or on Sankus?
When we first found it, we had one dickens of a time finding it because it's at the east end of the, what do they call that, the Polaris Fashion Center, which was...
Is that the one where everybody's wearing kilts?
No,
yeah, you're right. You haven't been there.
I have been there, yeah.
Well, you have, yeah. I think they've got the best fish and chips that I've had in Central Ohio.
Well, apparently Mr. Tarapak went for the kilt wearing.
I love that.
I think it was a big reception.
Anyway, try the India Oak. No, it's not fancy, but they've got really, in fact, the next time I go there, at my age, and I'm in my 80s, I'm only going to get a half a sub because the whole sub is too much. But anyway, thank you for the time, ladies and gentlemen, and have a wonderful weekend. It's looking lovely right now.
Thank you.
Thank you very much,
keep
Jerry.
Keep getting out there.
I thought the place was called the Tilted Kilt on Sankus up there, unless there's two restaurants that... wearing kilts.
There is a pub bar. It's supposed to be kind of a Scottish bar. I can't remember the name of the Mexican restaurant that's at the end of Fashion Plate. It's next to the kind of catty corner from Barnes Noble.
Okay.
It was up there for some kind of, I'm sure it was a meeting, an important client meeting.
2928513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. And, Rich, you've been to a couple of new places lately. The Tavern?
Yeah, finally got to the Tavern at lunch. We talked about this last time because Rich and Cindy and the baby and Roberta and I all ended up on the patio one afternoon after we got pizza at Yellow Brick, which was right across the street. And the folks dining there, we just went over because we heard it had a nice patio, which indeed it does. Hurry and use it while the weather's still good. And we got kind of a mason jar of sangria that was terrific. But the folks said the food was good and interesting. It's owned by two guys from Youngstown, and they have a bunch of Youngstown specials. One of them that they brought with them is something called the monkey salad, and I had that. It's iceberg, romaine, tuna fish, salami, Romano cheese, mozzarella, and Italian dressing.
Oh, that's heavy.
Yeah. And you can get a small or large. I got the small, and it was enough. They've got a whole bunch of other stuff that is, indigenous in Youngstown. They've got the usual buffalo wing kind of things, and they've got... red mash or grilled cheese, where they put the red mashed potatoes on the grilled cheese,
with broccoli.
Yeah, with broccoli.
I'm scarred for life, but it was good.
Yeah.
But
so you've been there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very attractive place, I thought. You know, it was an old pharmacy, I think, and they've actually got pictures of what it looked like back at the turn of the century.
I think real estate on Oak Street will go up. Yeah. I mean, I think that area is being reborn.
And I noticed as I left the restaurant, and I hadn't noticed this before because there's a lot of activity on that corner, which is what, 18th, I think, and Oak. They have a security guard kind of trolling in a car, in a big van, driving up and down. I don't know if that's...
Maybe that's supported by all the restaurants that chip in for it. That's a great idea, because that's one of the fears people have down there,
right,
is, parking and, vandalism. But I think that's terrific.
Because it's all street parking. Yeah. So it was good to see.
So there is a kind of a concentration of restaurants now in that particular area.
It's all
area.
At one particular intersection, really, Oak and 18th.
By the way, Powell used to be one intersection.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Used to be. Yeah. The what's the name of the? There's an Asian named place further down on Oak, and I can never remember.
You know, you've lost me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And there is. I think we talked about it the last time. The Oak Street Meat Market.
Yes, I went there on your recommendation last time, and I had I don't see soft shell crab on menus very much in Columbus, and so I ordered that immediately. That was like the first thing that I wanted to try. It's really good, and then I started to think about what I was eating, and then I Googled, which is never a good idea.
No. So you don't give a personality.
Yes, that's exactly. I was like, how much of the crab am I eating? And because you can't tell once it's been fried, so. And I know you want to know this. Yeah. So I didn't ask them how exactly the crab got in between bread for me. But before you cook them, you have to cut their little faces off. I'm glad I didn't want to eat a face, but I didn't know that that was like step one is cutting
that
the face off a live
in San
crab.
Francisco.
Oh,
yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
So after all that, you put it in your mouth. Anyway.
I did. I'm denial and repression.
Tartar and all that kind of stuff is really good, too,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, yeah. If I think about anything too much, I'm probably not going to eat it. Yeah,
that.
So.
But it's called Oak Street Meats and Seafood, right? They also have meat. But is it a kind of a butcher shop, or is it mainly
a
restaurant?
They have a butcher counter, and they sell, you know, great-looking big T-bone steaks and that kind of stuff that are all cryovac.
It seemed like people were coming in and getting their meat while I was there. You know, we were getting sandwiches, and other people were walking out with giant slabs of things.
292-8513, and Kelly has been patiently waiting. Hi. Kelly?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering if you've tried the new Fisherman's Wharf on Polaris. And what your thoughts were?
I have not. I've been to most of Nicky's places as he's moved around town. He was in Bexley for a long time and then went up, and maybe still is, up on Fishinger near the River Road. But I haven't been to the one at Polaris. I like the food. It's generous portions. It's good. I haven't eaten at a lot of Greek households, some, and I kind of consider it home cooking for the most part.
I attempted to eat there, but they are not open for lunch.
Right.
In case anybody wanted to know.
I thought, like, it's like no go, halfway go. I went. And you know what blew me away was the hospitality, and I know you guys would say the same thing. The hospitality in Nicky's places is always above and beyond anything you'd see any place else, and it feels very natural. I mean, it feels like they hire people that really want you to sit down and have a good time there. Yeah. So that's what I remember
most. So is it in the way that they greet you?
At the table, it's a real sense of hospitality, and I think his places were always famous for that. Though the new wharf wasn't for me as immersive as the wharf of 20 years ago. Am I that old? 20 years ago, the big boat on Morse Road. It's not that immersive, but
it's a nice seafood place. Yeah.
292-8513. You can also email us at WOSU at allsides@wosu.org. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be back in just a moment.
I'm NPR's political junkie, Ken Rudin, and Ohio is a very important swing state in the 2012 presidential election. So important, in fact, that Talk of the Nation host Neil Conan and I will be visiting WOSU to host the Political Junkie Roadshow. Join us Wednesday, October 10th at 7 p.m. on the Ohio State campus for an evening of politics, trivia, punditry, and sophisticated humor. Visit WOSU.org/politicaljunkie to register for this free event.
This is 89.7 NPR News, 65 degrees. A mix of sun and clouds today, a high of 71. There is a chance of rain tonight, and rain is likely overnight, a low of 45 degrees. Support for 89.7 comes from Ohio State's John Glenn School of Public Affairs, offering continuing education and graduate degree programs designed for the working professional. More details about the programs and upcoming information sessions are online at glenn.osu.edu. And All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
This is All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking about food and restaurants here in Columbus and in Central Ohio with WOSU restaurant reviewers Rich Terapak, his son Rich, and Miriam Bowers-Abbott of The Other Paper.
We were just having a quick brief conversation in the break there that the West Side Market in Cleveland is turning 100 this year. It opened up apparently in 1912. Should be a pretty simple calculation. And
the arithmetic. Yeah. Thank you, Bill.
I have never been there. I don't know if any of you know how it compares with our own North Market.
Well, I know it's a real institution. I have not been there either. I'm almost embarrassed to admit that. I think all my foodie friends have been there, maybe even go on a regular basis. I know if anybody's headed up to Cleveland, I've heard several times in the last couple of weeks, I guess, and actually on WOSU, that they are celebrating this weekend, 5th, 6th, and 7th, a big festival. I don't know if it's for the anniversary or not, but it'd probably be a good time if you're not crowdphobic.
No, I have not been there, unfortunately. I've even been to Cleveland two or three times, but I love our North Market, yeah. And I don't know if it
compares. I think it's the North Market times maybe four.
It's much bigger, I think.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Reading Market in Philadelphia, that kind of thing.
Speaking of the North Market, there's a fall farm to table hop that takes place on Thursday the 18th from 5:30 until 9:30. This is one of a number of special events taking place this fall at the North Market. And it's pretty easy to follow their schedule just by going online and Googling North Market, pretty much all of the events. The chili cook-off isn't until the winter, is it?
That's usually in February, actually, the North Market Fiery Foods Contest. This weekend, there is also the Italian Village Festival going on, kind of in the same area, generally, you know, good street fair and whatnot.
You know, the North Market is doing something. They're doing something this weekend, and it involves apple pie and pumpkin pie. I mean, I know that they're having customer bake-offs, and so I bet there would be other sorts of activities that go with that. So it's probably their harvest festival this weekend.
And you've been doing some research about pumpkins.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I have, as a sideline.
Even if they have a face.
I cut off the faces of the pumpkins. because October is the time of year when people start rolling out the pumpkin stuff on the menu. And that's exciting to me because there's not that many horror stories about pumpkin eating things. So you can usually eat it without regret or sadness. But the thing with pumpkin, I don't know if you guys agree with me, is sometimes things taste like pumpkin. And sometimes they taste like allspice and colored orange.
Right.
So I'm a little bit picky. And I asked different restaurants, hey, what do you got? Impress me with your pumpkin. And there are some really interesting things on menus this fall. Trattoria Roma has, I thought this sounded really good, a pumpkin ravioli with cream sauce and candied walnuts. And I thought I was already interested when they had pumpkin ravioli, but candied walnuts put me over the top. Skillet had a black bean soup with pumpkin, and I thought that sounded kind of different, too, and not like your normal thing. And then, like, Vienna Ice and Pistachio Vera both have good-sounding desserts, something beyond pumpkin pie. And then it looks like this year, I think pumpkin drinks might be hip. So, like, Surly Girl has something called Drunken Pumpkin, and we know I'm a prude. But it involves Kahlua, pumpkin liquor, and like the little, you know how they do things on the rim of glasses? They have graham crackers on the rim of the glass. How cute is that?
An alcoholic pumpkin pie.
Yeah. Do you guys have pumpkin things, or are you not pumpkin
Well, fans? The only thing I want to mention is Roberta made a pumpkin pie, but Rich and Cindy and the baby come over for dinner on Sundays as well as his brother. And she's always in charge of the desserts. And I think it was a couple of weeks ago, she was in the pumpkin pie mood. But she didn't have the right kind of syrup, so she used molasses. And it was terrific. The allspice didn't overwhelm it. It kind of enhanced the flavor, the pumpkin flavor. I thought it was really good.
You guys can cook. I have to just buy things.
2928513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're hearing from Rachel on Facebook. She loves the Red Door Tavern. It's cozy, friendly. Their food has never disappointed me or my companions in the 20 years I've been going there. My son and husband have started a Friday ritual with a stop at the Red Door on occasion. Have you been there lately anyway?
Haven't been there in years. It always has
been.
It's
on Fifth Avenue.
Fifth Avenue, right? From Graffiti Burger.
It's been an institution in Grandview for a long, long time. It was always famous for its pies. When I can't remember who it was. Betty was baking or something like that. But I think she's no longer around. I haven't been there, but it is cozy. It is a neighborhood spot. It's kind of like the Knotty Pine, which is in the same neighborhood.
Somebody sent me there for their bologna sandwich when I was doing a fried bologna sandwich review, and theirs was actually my favorite, not the judge's favorite, but I like their bologna sandwich. It tasted like the kind I would have grown up with, which was maybe not the same as what other people expected. But I liked the thick sliced bologna. I feel like they had it thick. I feel like maybe it was a more processed bologna, maybe than the other places. I like mine.
It's really spam.
Homogenous.
Spam with no face. 2928513, and Mark is joining us. Hi. Mark, are you with us?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi. I had a recommendation for a place for breakfast and lunch. It's called the Angry Baker. It's on Oak Street.
Yes. Sorry, we forgot to mention that.
I heard you were talking about some other places on Oak Street.
It's right next door to the tavern, actually. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's really, really good. And they also have options. They always have like two options for breakfast and lunch for vegans. And they also have vegan bakery there, which sometimes it's hard to find a good place that's friendly to vegans for breakfast and lunch.
Mm-hmm. No, I've been there. I've tried several of their pastries, and they're very good. And I've also purchased bread by the loaf to take home. I did have lunch there, a sandwich one time. It wasn't particularly anything to write home about, but I know they make very good baked products.
I think we've... Yeah. The three of us went there and had sandwiches. They're famous for their baked products, but a lot of takeout loaves of bread that we noticed go by.
Mm-hmm. Caramel cinnamon rolls, or I guess it's like caramel brioche cinnamon roll. That is the best cinnamon roll
I think I had that.
Yeah, in 2 years. Yeah. I can't think of a better one.
Wow.
I've had in the last 2 years.
Worth the trip.
Yeah.
So this, again, is in the Oak Street, 18th Avenue.
Yeah, it's right on the corner of 18th and Oak. It's immediately across the street from Yellow Brick. So the speaking of,
they have a few tables, but more of a takeout place. I think they have maybe four or five tables, like two person tables.
Yeah. Speaking of cinnamon rolls,
please,
speak of cinnamon rolls. We were at Skillet yesterday having one of their ginormous lunches. It was terrific. I had the lamb and chorizo burger, but I asked at the as we were leaving. Please tell me you brought back the cinnamon rolls, and they have.
I have not had theirs.
But they're terrific. Oh, they're but take three or four friends with you.
Yeah, you can share them. They're enormous.
Oh, no, I don't share.
you may have to share this.
Or take it home to the kids. Yeah.
What makes it so special? Is it grilled or is it?
It was just very tasty. I think they got the seasoning down just right. They had enough
and
cinnamon.
Frosting.
I think how fresh they are as well. I mean, you can tell they're like the dough is very young and freshly rolled. And they run out of them all the time. That's another reason they're so fresh.
Yeah, but they stopped making them for a while, and they are back. They didn't have any left at lunch yesterday. But
292-8513, and Stacy has been waiting. Hi. Go ahead.
Hi. My husband and I are going out tonight down to the Drexel and Bexley, mm-hmm. and I was wondering, we're going to have about an hour for dinner, and I wondered where you might recommend.
Well, the place that's closest and the most famous is the one right on the corner called Giuseppe's Retivo Grill. It's an Italian place. It's very popular. You may want to get there a little bit earlier or call and see if you can get a reservation. They have some outdoor seating, so if it's a nice evening, if it isn't raining, it'd be do that. Around the corner in what used to be called Bexley Square, I'm not sure it is anymore, is where the Bexley Monk used to be, is a place called Barrel 44. It's the second iteration of Barrel 44. Had some good stuff there.
I think if you're limited to an hour time frame, you're much better off going to Barrel 44. Giuseppe's Retrovo fills up and has generally a dozen or more people waiting at any time on a Friday evening. But Barrel 44 is very good. It's also a bit more reasonably priced if you're looking for a kind of a fast casual dinner as opposed to a fancier white linen tablecloth dinner.
About three blocks further east on the south side of the street, Aladdin's. Istanbul.
I would go to Cafe Istanbul over Aladdin's.
Aladdin's
very good as well. They also have a large outdoor patio that really almost triples their capacity. So if it's a nice evening like it appears it will be, that would also be a good place to go. That's just across the Euclid and Main Street.
Yeah.
So that's a few ideas for you.
The top is out that way, although that might take longer
than
an hour.
Yeah, not for a 1 hour dinner. I mean, that's a sit down, kind of place.
Savor the steak. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Have a whole bottle of wine if you care.
Does that help you, Stacey?
That's great. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Well, have a good time. Thanks for calling. 292-8513. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking with Rich Terapak, his son Rich, who do restaurant reviews here at WOSU, along with Miriam Bowers Abbott of the Other Paper. We also heard from Steve on Facebook, who says Sage is a great restaurant that's up just north of campus because it's quaint, contemporary, and exceptionally executed. And he says he made my girlfriend a believer in pork cheeks.
Pork cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
They also have what's the fish ribs that they serve that are just terrific. It's some kind of large shark-like fish, and they have ribs, and they taste like pretty much like beef ribs or pork ribs. They're really good. If you can, it's the only place I've ever seen them on a menu, and I can't remember.
I can't even imagine that.
Yeah.
So the bones aren't the little bones that stick in your teeth.
No, they're.
They're sizable
ribs. Yeah, and they're really good. That's a great restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. I love Sage, and they did recently. Their chef is moving over to the new Hilton, but they've been operating long enough now. I think I've been told by their ownership they should be able to keep their consistency. And Sage is one of my favorite restaurants in the whole city.
Well, and it consistently gets high marks, I think, for most.
Make a reservation.
Mm-hmm. But the whole concept of pork cheeks, I used to travel to Wisconsin pretty regularly, and there they have cod cheeks. And, of course, you hear that and you think, what on earth is this? It's like eating lobster.
Yeah.
And the fish was so tender and so tasty that I found myself consistently ordering something that I never would have dreamt I would have liked before that. But I imagine it's the same with the pork, that it's very, very tender.
Veal cheeks are big.
Yeah. Cheeks are great. They have good, good fat content around them. They're great if you do, slow cooked or braised dishes.
And it's not a heavily developed muscle. So it,
depending on how much they smile.
So it won't be too tough. Yeah.
292-8513, and Missy is joining us. Hi.
Miriam's turning green about eating cheeks.
You with us?
I am, yes. I just wanted to say some good words about Flipside up at Easton. They're a burger place, but it's Ohio-raised and free-range chicken and the best burger maybe in town. It's so nice to have something decent at Easton.
Yeah, I've had their Flipside burger. It's good. Sorry, Rich.
No, go ahead.
They've got a great beer selection as well. And just ate at the bar. The burger was one of the best I've had. You're right.
No, and I was just going to say that I couldn't agree more. They do need more, non-franchised restaurants at Easton, places that, where the ownership or management is a little more hands-on and takes more care of the food. I can't wait to get up to Flipside. I've not tried it yet, but I am excited to have a new place to eat at Easton.
There were kids in the restaurant when I went, so
good
when Cindy
were
up there,
friendly.
You take
the
baby.
Like big high chairs, right, that everybody sits high.
Good stuff.
So this is a locally owned and operated restaurant?
It's Ohio-owned. I think
there's
the
one
second one.
In Canton or someplace
like
that?
Hudson.
Ohio. Oh, good. Good, yeah.
And what differentiates the burger? What makes it distinguishable?
I wish I knew.
The meat quality was good.
Is it the seasoning?
It was correctly cooked. It was somewhat seasoned. Probably had some Worcestershire and stuff right in the burger. It had a kind of a smoky barbecue sauce on the one I had.
Is it made to order?
Yeah. Well, they've got several of them. It's a bunch of them. Yeah, they're made to order. Mine had. I think I got it with a Swiss and bacon.
But I mean, you could order medium well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I ordered mine medium. I seldom do that, but it wasn't overcooked. They're big. They're thick. So.
Well, that's one of the problems I'm having lately. Not that I eat a lot of hamburgers, but they're all a half a pound. Who wants to eat a half a pound of meat? What happened to just a
You're not
quarter?
From Ohio, are you?
Not from you in these parts, are you? It's just too much to me.
They are
probably
large.
The only hamburger I've had that's good leftover, though. It's actually tasty later.
Well, that's saying something. I don't think I've ever had a good leftover hamburger.
It's actually true, because it is big, and you can eat the other half later. It'll still be delicious. Not as delicious, but delicious.
Don't they have big milkshakes, too? I keep thinking milkshakes. Didn't they? Isn't that? Am I crazy?
They do. I have not tried them, but
okay.
They do.
Yeah.
Beer and milkshakes.
Beer and milkshake.
I know that's the model at Graffiti Burger too. They're big on their milkshakes.
I'm
as
big
well.
On milkshakes.
Yeah. Usually you can choose
better than Graffiti Burger.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for your call today. 292-8513, and Anna is calling from Bexley. Hi.
Hi. Hi, I'm just calling to recommend the Mad Greek on Broad Street in Whitehall.
I love that place.
A lot of fun.
We've done a review on it, and I've recommended it several times on this show. It's an excellent place. They have great in-house desserts as well, and they can get you in and out real quickly. I live in Bexley, and I get over there for lunch frequently, and they turn you real quick if you need
to.
Is
this on Main Street?
It's on Broad Street.
Broad Street.
Just down from DSCC.
Yeah,
it's on Broad Street. I really like the grouper soup. I think it's a great taste. It's
I haven't had it.
And their lamb shanks and the lemon sole, everything is just wonderful. It's family-owned. And I think he's the former partner of Nikki, the Fisherman's Wharf.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, wow, we get to talk about
the lemon sole. It must be because they both have
No, they do a great
job. Khalid is the owner and just very personal. He's there all the time, right there to greet you. It's a family situation. His mother-in-law, his sister-in-law, everybody works there together.
They do have, carry out as well. They've got a display counter of stuff you can buy. So if you're,
they do. And they have a great bar. They have a great martini called the Cleopatra. It's wonderful.
and as far as crowd phobia, which Miriam was mentioning earlier, they do a very stout business at lunch, but in the evenings it's not terribly crowded, and it's a great place to go for dinner.
Yeah, it's always very easy to get into in the evening. Very easy. Mm-hmm. Okay, just thought I would pass that on.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that suggestion today. 292-8513. You can also send us an email at allsides@wosu.org. And we do have an email from Brad who wants recommendations for Vietnamese pho places. He does mention the one on Lane Avenue, and I think that's in the
Pho Noodle House.
Where the old Taco Bell
is. It's an old Taco Bell across
near North Star.
Yeah, across from that strip there with all those places.
It was the original Panera.
Not
Panera.
My favorite pho place, or pho, to pronounce it correctly, and we've had arguments about that before, is Indochine Cafe on South Hamilton, which I've mentioned on the show many times. They do a tremendous pho. Miriam, you recently...
Yeah, I liked Pho Chef at 161 in Sawmill, and I don't know how adventurous this guy is, but the buffet at the casino has a pho bar where you can pick out your own meat, and then they put it in broth, and then you can put your own little condiments on top.
Okay.
And that sounded really
fun to
me. I didn't
get to that.
But that's because you're not a buffet guy.
Well, you're right. Well, the line at the buffet was enormous. They had kind of a soft opening, and all the proceeds went to five charities, and a bunch of nonprofits were invited, and that huge crowd. And but I've sampled a lot of the places that didn't have long lines. The buffet had a very long line. They have another something like Shortstop that is that had some great fried fish, kind of a fish and chips sort of setting. The steak restaurant, the beef restaurant, is really elegant and beautiful, and they had a nice. They were giving samples that night, substantial samples, and had good pork. Shredded pork pot stickers, scallops that were fried just right, some very well seasoned crab cakes. But a beautiful place. That was lovely. I was really pleasantly surprised at how nice the place is. I'm not a big casino person.
So, would you call the casino a dining destination or just suitable to eat at if you're there? For gambling purposes.
Because we didn't get to try a full menu, it'd be hard to endorse it that far. But I would go there to Beef House. I don't know if it's run by Penn National or sometimes they take those things, to a Morton's or Ruth's Chris. But it looked like it would have that kind of menu.
Am I going too far from the pho question? Because
no, but we are going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back in a minute.
Sorry.
I was trying to point you. Yeah.
On the next Fresh Air, Vanity Fair's culture critic James Wolcott. He arrived in New York City 40 years ago this week. He got a job at the Village Voice with the help of Norman Mailer, went on to learn about writing criticism from Pauline Kael, and was introduced to pornography through a Village Voice assignment. He writes about it all in his memoir, Lucking Out, which is now out in paperback. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes, starting at noon on 89.7 NPR News. You can support our station right now and register to win an iPad. Our fall membership drive begins soon, and by making your pledge before the start of the drive, you'll be automatically entered to win an iPad. No pledge is necessary, but your support will continue to pay for the programs you enjoy. Entries are only accepted at WOSU.org, so visit our website right now, make your pledge, and get registered. The deadline is October 11th. Thank you for supporting 89.7 NPR News. 66 degrees with clouds today and some sunshine. There is a slight chance of rain this evening, a high of 71 today. Rain is more likely for tonight, a low of 45 degrees. A few rain showers early in the day on Saturday, and then sunshine and a high of 57. And a little chilly Saturday night, cloudy skies, a low of 38. All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Hi, I'm Marilyn Smith. This is All Sides Weekend. We're talking about food and restaurants here in Columbus. We're talking with you, along with Marian Bowers Abbott of The Other Paper, Rich Terapak, and his son Rich, who do restaurant reviews here at WOSU. We did get a message from Tim on Facebook, and he wants to recommend Hound Dog's Pizza. It's great if you like takeout and greasy, delicious pizza. And this is kind of a just off-campus pizza place, I think just north of the OSU campus.
Yeah, with major late-night hours, right? I think it's open 24.
Is that in the same complex as Sage?
I think they are neighbors.
It is. Yeah, it shares a parking lot. Yeah. So near Doddridge and High. Yeah.
And they have kind of a spicy either crust or sauce on Hound Dogs, don't they?
I haven't had it in a while. I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm getting hungry. that's kind of the greasy pizza strip. Remember the Blue Danube always had the best greasy pizza around. So.
2928513, and Gail is waiting. Hi, are you with us?
Did you say Gay?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yes. I wanted to recommend a Vietnamese restaurant, another one in Whitehall, further down from Indochine, is a small place called Leyu's Asian Bistro. The chef has been in the industry about 25 years, and I have the best walnut chicken, if you like the sweet side, and also his variation of salt pepper rings with sautéed onions and jalapenos. Very good food.
And it's Vietnamese, or is it more of an Asian kind of a fusion of different?
Kind of an Asian fusion, because I've never seen much jalapeno in
Asia. That's where I was going,
But it worked, believe me, along with some simple steamed rice and the walnut chicken. So sweet, but man, does it have good flavor.
And the name again?
Leyu's Asian Bistro.
And that's further south on Hamilton from Indochine?
Yeah, closer to Broad. No, north.
It's closer to Broad.
Closer to Broad, okay. All right. Well, I'll look out for that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much for your call. And we'll move on now to Leah, who's calling from Canal Winchester. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to talk about a couple places that have opened. I'm actually from the Lithopolis area. And if you're into, like, shopping, antiquing, and eating, they opened a new place called the Lithopolis Grill. And if you go a little bit further over to Canal Winchester downtown, the Village Wine Shop has moved, and they now have a bigger location, and they have really good food, great wine. And then across the street from that place is my favorite place, which is called the Harvest Moon Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all organic food, great coffee, lattes, and wine. They even have a liquor license now, and you can also go to their herb shop. It's run by Nathan and Kelly, and Nathan runs the cafe. Kelly runs the herb shop, and you can go in for all your herbal remedies, so you can get it all done in one stop.
Have a glass of wine as well.
Yeah, I've heard good things about Harvest Moon Cafe. I've yet to get down there.
How far away is Lithopolis?
Lithopolis, it's about 10 minutes from Canal Winchester. It's like towards Lancaster a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it's just 10 miles. So you could actually do the whole thing. And it's where they have they just had a few weeks ago their Honeybee Festival, which is just huge and great food there and all kinds of crafts and things.
Yeah, if you live in, Bexley or Reynoldsburg or Pickerington, it's really not a far shot at all. From the rest of Columbus, it could be considered a little ways out of the way. But yeah, Lithopolis is not too far from where we live.
They used to have a little tea room there in Lithopolis. Is it still around? But they had great pastries.
I wish it was. No, they have the Lithopolis Grill, and then they have like a German coffee house called Das Kaffeehaus, which is neat. And I mean, if you're into antiques, they have Barnside Antiques, which is just amazing. And the people that own Losopolis Grill just opened up like a vintage place where they take vintage furniture and revamp it. So it's really cool.
Yeah, cool.
Well, thank you.
So they're kind of repurposing stuff.
Repurposing, but doing it the right way. I could never do it the way they do it, just with a lot of creativity. So
terrific.
Well, thank you very much for those tips today, 2928513. And we're going to talk with Trent, who's been waiting for quite a while. Hi.
Thank you very much. The restaurant I'm calling about is called Family Affair. It's on Hamilton Road near Groves Road. It's a very small restaurant, but the owners, the gentleman is from West Virginia, and his wife is from, I think, Colombia, down in South America. A combination of kind of a traditional Southern food with almost a Jamaican-type accent to it. Very, very good. I was born and raised in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and this food is very, very traditional Southern food. You can get the mac and cheese and greens and a variety of meats. Ooh, and pumpkin pie, apple pie, different things. It's a very small place, but the food is excellent. And my second comment, you were talking earlier about pumpkin pie. There's a gourd that you can find at different farmers markets, roadside guys around Franklin County, called a couchard. That's a very, gooseneck gourd. The meat of it is similar in appearance to a pumpkin, but the flavor is more of a sweet potato. And any recipe that you use for cooking sweet potato or pumpkin pie, you can use this same vegetable, and it's very, very good. For people that haven't tried it before, you might want to give it a try. It's a very large gourd, green and white stripes, and it's called a couchard.
Couchard.
That's great information. Thank you.
Thanks.
We learned so much from our listeners here on All Sides. Thank you so much for your call today, Trent. And we did get an email from Kevin helping out our couple who's going out on a date to the Drexel from Worthington tonight. He says get 20% off at Barrel 44 if eating there and seeing a movie at the Drexel on the same day.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So
good,
that's
for them.
A pretty good tip to pass along.
Excellent idea.
And he says he really enjoyed the black and blue salad there. That's the same thing that I got. It was very good, and I would recommend that as well.
I like, over half their menu, and I don't say that at many places. Barrel 44 has definitely got something for everybody.
Yeah. The seared tuna is really good, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had that as an appetizer.
Yeah, they do a seared tuna cup appetizer that's great. Mm. Yeah, with a little wasabi mayo sprinkled over it. It's really, really good.
2928513. If you have questions or recommendations, we'll be glad to hear from you. Jake is calling from Victorian Village. Hi.
Hi. I don't know how relevant taco trucks are to the conversation, but
they're always relevant.
Great. I've tried a lot of them, many of them throughout the city, and I keep coming back to Junior's on West Fifth Avenue.
I hear that pretty regularly. People
really
like that.
Yeah, that's the one
place
that I think most people have tried. But really, if you haven't, you've got to try it. Especially their al pastor meat. I have never had that, done so well anywhere else.
Say it again.
In my opinion, the al pastor. It's like a Latin Euro meat type deal. So it's really, really Junior's really, really, really quality. Really, really happy to have that place so close to home.
And it's not too far from Neil, right?
Right. It's like right at, I don't know what that's the street that it's like. It's on like West 5th and Highland, I think. Right.
Yeah, that's
street,
the next street.
Yeah,
that's
a block from Neil.
Definitely one of the best taco trucks in town. It's about as good as any Mexican restaurant.
And
you
it's
can
there
find.
Pretty regularly, right?
What's that?
It's parked at that location pretty regularly, so
yeah,
you can find it.
Yeah, they've been there at that location for a couple years,
Oh, great.
And, of course, there are some websites dedicated to taco trucks and where they're located, and some of them do move around pretty regularly. And now that we have these little hubs, The
Dine and All. on West Rich.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to drop my G's.
And they're actually... since you mentioned Dine and Hall, I read the other day they're actually going to be opening a bar in that building there. Kind of to cater. There's a lot of, you know, independent artists and things that have studios there, and they do the Dine and Hall.
Oh, it's a big art colony.
Yeah. It's an, you know, old warehouse. It's a pretty big place. And I guess the patrons and the people who work there have always said, you know, the only thing this place is missing is a bar. And now they're actually working to develop
that's
one.
That's the only thing that's missing here, yeah. too.
I agree. It's missing a lot of places. But, it's about a 4,000-square-foot area, I read. So not going to be, you know, too big, but big enough. And they're still working on coming up with a name. But that just, you know, the revitalization of the West Side continues.
Well, that's very interesting. 292-8513. And Linda's joining us from Worthington. Hi.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes, we'd like to recommend the Bamboo Cafe on Bethel Road for pho. And we believe that is the correct pronunciation.
And how do you say it?
Pho.
Pho. Yeah,
pho.
I think so.
What the Vietnamese say. Yeah. We went there.
It's like the musical note. Pho.
Yes. Yeah, you just breathe out the word.
Pho.
That.
Well, what makes this restaurant special?
We really like the Bamboo Cafe. Everything seems to be very fresh and good. We also like their summer rolls. They have these wonderful soft summer rolls as opposed to spring rolls.
Oh yeah, they're usually filled with vermicelli noodles and cilantro and some vegetables. Those are very refreshing on a hot day.
Yeah, they're very, very good, and I like those really whatever time of the year it is. But anyway, I do like their soups and the pho. I'm recommending that.
Well, there are so many restaurants on Bethel Road. Give us some approximation of where it is.
Oh, this is in that strip right across from. There's Wendy's and the Five Guys hamburger place right there at the corner after you get off the freeway.
Okay.
It's right across from that. There's a strip that has – there's a McDonald's in the front of the strip, and then there's four or five, I guess.
So it's across from where Micro Center is.
Yes, that's about where it is. It's right across from there, and there's like, I guess, four or maybe five little international restaurants in that strip. Well, but we recommend that you try the Bamboo Cafe. It's really quite good.
Thank you very much for your call, 292-8513. And Jackie is joining us. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. I'd like to recommend Doc Henderson's in Marysville. South Fifth.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a wonderful atmosphere. The menu's not terribly large, but it's all very good. And they seem to have a change up on the dessert menu with different kind of cheesecakes. We stopped by there yesterday. And they had sold the last piece of what sounded like a pumpkin pecan pie type of cheesecake. And I kind of drooled at the people who
Miriam is drooling.
Hey, I am.
Sitting there eating the last couple of pieces by us. But
so how far is this from, say, Dublin?
Oh, not very far. Just to Marysville, I would say maybe, 15 or 20
15,
minutes? Not
yeah,
very
15
far.
Minutes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So worth the trip. Huh?
Yeah, it is, definitely. And they've converted, restored a huge big Victorian home with wonderful woodwork. It's just nice to sit there and look at all these huge amounts of archways.
And did Doc Henderson's open up a more casual dining establishment across the street as well? Did I see that last time I was driving through there?
Not that I'm aware of, but I'm not from Marysville.
Okay.
But we trip just for this restaurant, so and it's worth it.
No,
it's,
I would drive for pumpkin cheesecake.
I get, yeah.
And cinnamon rolls. I would drive.
So this
all
is
right, thank you.
That Doc was, Henderson's
very good.
In Marysville. 292-8513. We've got about 5 minutes left. And I don't know if I'm going to say your name properly, but Jobby is joining us. Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes, my name is Jobby.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm coming from Jamaica. There's a new Jamaican restaurant at the continent.
Oh,
it's
good.
Called Vows of the Caribbean. And she's open from Tuesday to Saturday, and they have live reggae bands every week.
Oh, terrific. Yeah.
And what I would like to call and say, you all talk about a lot about Europe, and but you all forget about the Caribbean. The Caribbean is right next door. And I'm a very big fan of your radio station. I listen to it every morning. And you all never talk about the Caribbean, Jamaica, St. Lucia, Trinidad, Barbados, you know. But I'm talking about the restaurant.
Well, it's you're here talking about it.
Is it Val's, did you say?
It's Val's of the Caribbean.
Okay.
Her name is Val's.
Uh-huh.
And we're Jamaican. And it's a very nice restaurant. It's right next to the the movie theater where the old comedy club was.
Uh-huh.
And every weekend, it's live reggae bands and good food.
What are some of the items they're serving? You know,
Jamaican food, nice. Curry goat, curry chicken, rice and peas,
mm-hmm.
Hard food, green bananas, whatever you want on the side. You just call and you take a walk up there, and she's very nice, and she serve it to you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you very much for your call. 292-8513. Take care. 292-8513. Brandon is joining us from Westerville. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to recommend to everyone out there that they should go to Yanni's Greek Restaurant on Cleveland Avenue and 270. That is by far the best Greek restaurant that I have ever had in the entire United States.
Well, wow. That's quite an endorsement. you're nodding your heads as though you've been there.
It's good, and the portions are huge. That's what I always think about when I think about Yanni's.
I've heard about it. I've got to admit, I've never been. Yeah.
Not only are the portions huge and their euros are amazing, but they also have great service with a great server named Tom there. That's a great guy. So I recommend you guys go there to Yanni's Greek Restaurant over on Cleveland Avenue and 270 and get Tom for your server. He's a great guy.
Thanks so much. 292-8513. And Emily is joining us from Gahanna. Go ahead.
Oh, hello. Yes, I'd like to recommend a Thai restaurant. Now, I do have to make I don't know a lot about Thai. But this is a small restaurant called Erawan, Erawan. It's on Refugee Road, just west, a couple miles west of Hamilton. And I could really recommend the curry masaman. And they also have beautiful soups. And they also do a whole fish deep fried, a red snapper. We've been there a couple times and always been impressed.
That's good to know. I'm glad to have a name for it. I've been told that down the road there's another Thai place on Refugee that direction called Bangkok, but I've been told there's one that's even better a little further out, and so that must be the Erawan. I'm definitely going to get out there and try it. Always looking for a good new Thai place, and I love masaman curry.
Well, it's in this really tiny strip place, and it has a hokey name. It's called the McThai Center.
I know exactly where you are. Yeah.
It's called the McThai Center.
McThai, I guess, like, as in McDonald's, it's McThai.
It's a very small restaurant. I assume it's family-owned, and the food was just wonderful each time.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for your call, and thanks to everybody who gave us a call or emailed us today. We got a lot of good tips from our listeners, as usual. I'm Marilyn Smith. We've been talking with WOSU restaurant reviewers Rich Terapek and his son, Rich, along with Miriam Bowers Abbott of The Other Paper. This is listener-supported WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1 Columbus, streaming on the web at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR News station, a service of WOSU Public Media.